David Martin.
We're glad to have you, young man. Just obey the Lord.
Well, good morning. Brother Dan said he didn't know why David and Jennifer Martin were here. I can tell you why they're here, because we didn't know if the kids would be in the nursery and we needed help with them. So they've got two grandbabies that go with us most everywhere we go, and so sometimes Shelly needs some help, but that's why they're here. It don't have nothing to do with me. They might would have stayed at the house if it was just for me, but I appreciate being able to be here this morning. And didn't the youth do a wonderful job this morning? They did a wonderful job. You know, there's a lot of things you can do with your kids. A lot of people put emphasis in all this sports and travel ball and everything else, but somebody needs to be teaching their children how to worship the Lord and how to play the piano, because one day we're going to turn the churches over to the youth. And if nobody knows how to lead a church in worship, if nobody knows how to stand up and sing to the Lord or play the piano or get up and read scripture, then the church is going to be in bad shape. It's our job as adults and as parents to raise our kids to worship the Lord. Everything else is all well and good, but the most important thing we can teach our youth is to worship the Lord. And I was talking to...
David, can I interfere just a second?
Yes.
Do you move around?
Not much, no.
Do we need to mic you? I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I should have taken care of that.
No, you're okay. You're okay. Brother Dan texted me or called me and left me a message wanting to know what my message, the title of my message and the scripture I would be using. And I told him one thing, and then I had to text him yesterday and said that the Lord had changed my mind. I had been planning on preaching one thing, and I believe in being prepared and having things laid out, but sometimes the Lord lays another thought on your heart. And how many of you just want me to be obedient to the Lord this morning? That's what I want to do. I can have my own message picked out and everything else, and if the Lord's not in it, then it's not going to be effective. Amen. And I'd rather just preach whatever God tells me to preach. And so the thought that's laid on my heart this morning is breaking the cycle of sin. Breaking the cycle of sin. And I'm going to start out, I'm going to use Samson as an example who couldn't break the cycle of sin. And one of the things I want to notice is that he was one of God's people. And so this isn't just a message for lost people. In fact, lost people can't break the cycle of sin because they don't have the Holy Spirit living inside of them. And so this is a message for Christians as well, the people of God. Because I believe that no matter how far along you are in your faith, no matter how far along I am in my faith, whether I'm a baby Christian or whether I'm a mature Christian, there's always areas of our lives that need improvement. There's always certain things that we struggle with that God wants us to sanctify. There's that process of sanctification, and that's making areas of our lives holy that we've not made holy yet. And so as long as we have breath, I believe that God is perfecting us and making us more like His Son. And so we deal with these cycles of sin, and sometimes what happens is we do things that as Christians will make us feel guilty. But then what happens? The enemy comes to us and says that God doesn't want to hear from us anymore, that we've blown it too bad this time, that God is angry with us and that God doesn't want anything to do with us. And so what do? We hide from God, just like Adam and Eve did in the garden. They were afraid that God would be angry with them and not take them back. And so we hide from God, and in hiding from God, we go right back to that same sin that made us feel so bad in the first place. And so we get trapped in this cycle of sin. And eventually what happens is we'll fall in love with our sin, or we become comfortable with our sin to the point where we're numb to the conviction that results. And so as Christians, I think it's important that we learn to break the cycles of sin in our lives. And for a couple of reasons. The first reason that I want to discuss this morning is the cycle of sin in your life will keep you from God's purpose for your life. The cycles of sin in your life can keep you from God's purpose and the potential that you have to serve Him. And so this morning I want to start in the book of Judges. I'll ask you, if you will, to stand with me in Judges chapter 16, and we'll read God's Word together. And we're going to start reading in verse 28 of Judges chapter 16. And it says, "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life." Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your word. And this morning, God, I pray that you would just move me out of the way and that you would speak through me. God, we don't need to hear from me. We need to hear from you. And I pray that you would open each and every heart in this place, God. And if there's areas in our lives that we keep running back to, if there's that cycle of sin in our lives that we keep running back to, I pray that you would just help us to overcome that. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And I started with the end of Samson's story, because Samson, to me, in the Old Testament, he was somebody that had so much potential. Samson had so much potential. God had a promise on his life. And the reason that I started with the end of Samson's life, because it says something pretty unique, that God was able to do more with him by his death than he was with his life. And that's because Samson missed out on fulfilling his full potential. Samson fell short of his full potential because Samson had a whole life that he could have served the Lord with. Samson had a whole life ahead of him that God would have used to do something miraculous and something great. But God was able to do more with Samson in his death than he was in his life because of the cycles of sin in Samson's life. And so the first thing I want us to notice is this: if we are Christians, if we're born again believers, God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for my life, and there's potential in that. As a matter of fact, Samson had a promise on his life before he was ever born. And if you don't think that you have a purpose, read through some of the Old Testament, some of the prophecies in the Old Testament, and David, the king, in the Psalms, he talked about how God formed us in our mother's womb before we were ever even thought of, and that God knew our days before we were ever even born. While we were still being knit together, God knew our days. And the prophets of the Old Testament say, before I was ever formed in my mother's womb, God knew me. And so God has a purpose for your life, especially as a child of God. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And Samson, his mother couldn't have children at first, and God knew that she wanted a child, and so God promised her. The angel of the Lord promised her a child in Samson. And he said, "He'll be a Nazarite unto me, and he'll begin to deliver my people from the hand of the Philistines." And so Samson had a promise and a purpose on his life before he was ever even born. And the unique thing about Samson was God said he was to be a Nazarite. And there's another important Nazarite in the Bible. It was John the Baptist. And there were some strict stipulations if you were to be a Nazarite to God. And it was a pretty strict commitment. You couldn't have anything off of the vine, so that meant no wine. And if I'm not mistaken, you might fact check me on this, but I don't even know that they were allowed to have the grapes off of the vine. Another thing was that you couldn't touch of anything clean or anything dead, anything unclean or anything dead. Anything dead was considered unclean in the Old Testament, and a Nazarite was not allowed to touch of a dead animal, a dead person, or anything that was considered unclean. So there's two stipulations, and the third main stipulation was that you couldn't cut your hair. And we know the end of the story of Samson, that he lost his strength when Delilah cut his hair. But those were the three main stipulations. And you say, well, that sounds pretty strict. That sounds pretty over the top. But I do want to point out that if God has a great purpose for your life, sometimes that requires a great commitment. If God has a great purpose for my life, sometimes that requires me to have a greater level of commitment than I'm used to having. And I believe that God has a purpose, and he's looking for some people that will be committed to him and committed to living for him and committed to living a lifestyle of holiness. And so there's a principle there that if God has a great purpose, it requires a great commitment. But in Samson's life, he had a little bit of trouble upholding his end of the deal of this Nazirite vow. We see that, Samson's life wasn't just all the supernatural strength and carrying the gates of the city and everything and ripping the line in half, and then all of a sudden one day he falls in love with Delilah and that was his downfall. If you read the story of Samson, you see that it was a process of a sin cycle. He was living in a cycle of sin, and he had fallen in love with the cycle of sin. And it started out with Samson. At first it says that the Spirit of the Lord began to move on Samson at times in the camp of Dan. Oh, how we need the Spirit of the Lord to move on our lives if we're to do anything for God. We need the Spirit of God to move on our lives. But Samson, even though he had that Spirit of God that would move on his life, he began to fall in love with Philistine women. And it says that he would go to a place called Timnah, and he would find a woman, and he would come back to his parents, and he would say, "I found a woman of the Philistines, and I want you to go get her for me to be my wife." And his dad makes a comment. He says, "Is there never a woman of your people that would be suitable to be your wife? Is there never?" And that to me says that Samson had a habit of running around with the wrong types of people and the wrong types of women. And I want to say that there's nothing that can be more detrimental to your Christian walk and your purpose for the Lord is to end up marrying the wrong type of person or to end up dating the wrong type of person. The Bible says not to be unequally yoked with non-believers. That can destroy your purpose for your life. And Samson had a bad problem of falling in love with the wrong kinds of women. And his dad would say, "Is there never a woman of your own people?" So Samson had a habit of being around the wrong people. And so on the way, they finally consented, and on the way, Samson finds a vineyard. Now remember that Nazirite vow, he's not allowed to take of anything off the vine. He's not allowed to have anything that comes off the vine, especially not the wine. He's not allowed to have anything off the vine. So what is Samson doing in a vineyard? He's flirting with disaster. Samson's whole life can be characterized by flirting with disaster and God having to rescue him. He was flirting with disaster. He was walking around in a vineyard, and then all of a sudden, we know the story, a lion comes out after Samson, and I believe that the lion was sent by God to distract him from being in a place that he shouldn't have been in, to warn him out of the place that he shouldn't have been in the first place. And if you'll notice in your own life, there are times that you will have close calls when you're places that you shouldn't be and doing things that you shouldn't be doing. God will give you close calls to warn you away from bad situations. And I believe that that's exactly what was happening with Samson. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed on him, and he pulled the lion apart with his bare hands. But then he goes on and meets back up with his parents, and it says he didn't tell his parents where he had been. Why do you think he didn't tell his parents where he'd been? Because when we sin, as Christians, we don't want people to know about it. If we find ourselves places that we shouldn't be, we don't want anybody to know about it. We want to come to church and put on our Sunday best and put on our suit and tie and stand behind the pulpit like nothing's ever happened. But the truth is, Samson was somewhere that he shouldn't have been. Samson was in a place he should have never been in. So he meets back up with his parents. And the story goes that a couple of days later, he was coming back and he went back to that same vineyard. Again, he was going back to somewhere that he should have never been. He was flirting with disaster. And this time, he found the lion that he had killed and noticed that the bees had made a honeycomb inside this lion. And what did he do? He reached down and touched something unclean to pull honey out of this lion. And he ate the honey. So he's broken part of his vow. He's broken part of his Nazirite vow. And that was one of the stipulations that God said he would begin to deliver the children of Israel from the Philistines, but he's going to be a Nazirite. So you see, Samson's already breaking part of this Nazirite vow. And he eats of the honey. And then he goes on back to take his wife. And I'm paraphrasing a lot of this story. I don't have time to read the whole thing, but I encourage you to read the story. I encourage you to read your Bible on your own. You don't have to be at church and the preacher reading the Bible to you. But the story goes on that the Philistines would throw a feast or throw a party for Samson and his wife's marriage. Now the Philistines were people that loved to party. They were people that loved to drink, and they would have wine. They would throw these big drinking feasts, and now that Samson's marrying into them, I had a professor at Liberty University, Old Testament survey. His name was Ed Hineson, And he was under the impression that Samson probably did have wine at this party. And the Bible doesn't clearly state whether or not Samson drank. He was at the party. It was a party thrown for him. And judging by Samson's lifestyle choices, you can almost kind of infer that he was probably having a little bit of wine. And so that would be number two. He's not supposed to have anything off the vine. So there's a possibility that Samson just broke the second part of that Nazarite vow right there. But he kept going back to a cycle of sin. He kept going back to a cycle of sin. And then every time something would happen, he would always have these close calls. Samson would find himself later in the house of a harlot or in a place with prostitutes and somewhere that he should have never been. And the Philistines would find out that he was there and God would have to rescue him. And what I want to point out is that we can find ourselves as Christians over and over again in situations we shouldn't be in, and the Holy Spirit will be faithful to try to pull us from those situations if we'll listen. I'm in Bible college over at Calvary Church in Boone's Creek, and one of my teachers told a story about his pastor, the pastor of the church where the Bible college is. Him and his wife were out of town somewhere far away and ran into another pastor that they knew who was with a woman that wasn't his wife. And this pastor had been having an affair and had been somewhere far away from home where he didn't think anybody would ever meet him. And then he runs into another pastor friend. And the pastor of that church, the story goes that he asked him, he said, "Was the Holy Spirit faithful?" And what he meant by that was, did the Holy Spirit give you an opportunity to repent from this sin? Did the Holy Spirit tug at you saying you need to stop doing this? Did the Holy Spirit get your attention and tell you that you need to stop doing this? And that the pastor said, yeah, he did. Because what will happen is we'll flirt with disaster for so long with the Holy Spirit tugging at our hearts. We'll flirt with sin in places that we shouldn't be so long with the Holy Spirit tugging at our hearts and convicting our hearts. And then all of a sudden, if we rebel enough, the Holy Spirit will withdraw Himself from us. And He'll open the curtain and He'll expose our sin for what it is. He'll give us opportunity after opportunity to make things right and to repent and to turn away from it and get forgiveness until all of a sudden He has to go to desperate measures. I believe that God went to desperate measures to save me, and I believe that He goes to desperate measures to keep me. And sometimes if that takes my sin being revealed, I believe that's exactly what He'll do. And that doesn't mean that He can't still forgive me, but sometimes I think God has to get our attention with things. And that's a story just of that right there. And that probably really hurt that pastor's ministry, because God had a job for him to do, but he was in a cycle of sin. He was in a cycle of sin. And Samson was the same way. He found himself with prostitutes, and the Philistines found him out. And then God would rush on him, and he would carry off the gates of the city. So God would always, God had blessed Samson with that supernatural strength. And every time Samson found himself, God was using Samson's bad situation still as an opportunity against his enemies. And so God can still use Samson, but that doesn't mean that God was pleased with Samson's lifestyle. But eventually, it caught up with him. We know the story that he even went back again and fell in love with another Philistine woman named Delilah. And she bugged him and bugged him and bugged him until he finally gave in and told her what the source of his strength was. And Samson was a little confused. He told her the source of his strength was his hair. That wasn't the source of his strength. God was the source of his strength. The Holy Spirit was the source of Samson's strength. The hair was just part of the vow that signified that he was set apart to God. It wasn't in the hair. It was in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was the one that was, and by the way, the Bible says that God's Spirit won't always strive with man. God's Spirit won't always strive with us. He'll strive with us for so long until He turns us over to the consequences of our actions. And when Samson finally broke down and told Delilah, and she cut his hair while he was asleep, there was that third stipulation of that Nazarite vow. It had been broken. And it says she woke him up and said, the Philistines are upon you. And he planned on getting up and going out just like at other times. But one of the saddest scriptures in the Bible says that he wist not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. How sad is that? How sad is that God had such a plan for Samson's life? And God can have such a plan for our life, but if we continue to rebel against God, the Spirit can depart from us. The Spirit can leave us up to our own devices. The Spirit can leave us to deal with the consequences of our own sin. And so Samson was one who had so much potential, and now all of a sudden he's in bondage to the Philistines. And the one thing that I notice about that, not only will our sin cycle rob us of God's purpose for our lives, but the sin cycle will find ourselves in bondage to the very thing we were supposed to overcome. See, Samson was supposed to be the one that would defeat the Philistines. He was supposed to be the one that would conquer the enemies of God's people. But now Samson, because of his sin cycle and falling in love with the enemy, now Samson was in bondage to the people that he was supposed to conquer. And if we're not careful as Christians, the Bible says we are conquerors and co-heirs with Christ. And as a lost person, I have no power over my sin, but that same Spirit of God that lived in Samson, when he would rip a lion in half, or when he would carry off the gates of the city, or when he would kill thousands of men at one time, that same Spirit of God lives inside of me, and I'm to be a conqueror over my sin. That's why Paul said, I beat my body and make it my slave. He wasn't talking about actually inflicting damage upon himself. He was talking about putting his flesh nature under subjection of the Spirit. And that can be painful to our nature sometimes, to put our flesh under the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit gives us the power to do so. A lost person doesn't have the power to overcome their own sin. But because I've been saved and because the Holy Spirit lives inside of me, He's given me the ability to overcome my sin. I'm not a slave to my sin anymore. But Samson, as a child of God, allowed himself to go back into bondage. And as a Christian, I can allow myself to fall back into bondage of my sin if I'm not willing to take care of it and get rid of it. If I'm not willing to break the sin cycle, I can find myself in bondage. And that's exactly what Samson did, was he found himself in bondage, and they gouged out his eyes, and he was a slave now to the Philistines. And that's where we pick up at the scripture that I started with. And there's a spectacle being made of Samson in this temple of a false god. And Samson, his last dying wish was that God would grant him the strength one more time to avenge him. And there's a silver lining here at the end of this story, that no matter how far we've fallen, no matter how far we think we've gone, if we found ourselves in the cycle of sin, if we found ourselves in a place where we think that we've sinned too much, or that we've gone too far, and that we can't feel God's Spirit near us anymore, and maybe we've come to a place where we don't think God wants to use us, God always leaves a remnant. God always leaves a remnant. Read the prophets in the Old Testament. Every time that God punished Israel, He said, "But I'll leave a remnant. I'll leave a remnant of Israel, or I'll leave a remnant of Jacob to serve me." Yeah. And at the end of Samson's life, he didn't have much of his life left, but God left a remnant. And God's mercies are new every morning. Amen. God's mercies are new every morning. No matter how many times I've fallen, no matter how many times that I think that I can't get back up, Proverbs says that a righteous man falls seven times and gets back up. Yeah. See, your righteousness isn't determined by how many times you fall. It's determined by how many times you get back up. My standing with God isn't always affected by my fall. It's, am I willing to repent and get back up? Am I willing to repent and go back to what God has called me to do? Am I willing to break that sin cycle? Because I can try and try and try and continue to fail, but God's mercies are still new every morning. And that seven times in Proverbs doesn't mean you only get seven chances and you're done. Seven in the Bible is the number of completion. So you can fall as many times as it takes to keep getting back up until you conquer your sin, and God will still be with you. As long as you are willing to repent and conquer your own sin, God will still help you conquer your sin. No matter how many times that you think you've fallen, no matter how many times that you think it's over, it's not over until you give up. It's not over until you quit. So God has a purpose for each and every life in here. And the one way that we can keep ourselves from our purpose is to fall in love with that sin cycle. To fall in love with that sin cycle. And the sin cycle is not easy to break. Sometimes we're in a sin cycle that we don't even realize. Sometimes we're doing things that we don't even realize. That's why we've got to measure our life against what God's Word says. I don't always know when I'm doing things wrong. The further we get along as Christians, we know certain things like sex outside of marriage and lying and stealing and we know that murder and all these other terrible things that the world talks about all the time. We know those things are wrong. But the further we get in our Christian faith and the more we spend time in the Word, that's when we find certain cycles in our lives that don't measure up. That's when we find certain areas in our lives that don't measure up. And as Christians, we're constantly to measure our lives against God's Word. And if there's areas that need to be dealt with, we've got to ask God to help us break those sin cycles. It's not easy. It's not easy, but it's worth it. God has a purpose for our lives, and the one thing that will keep us from God's purpose more than anything else is sin. Sin will keep us from God's purpose. And of course, if you're a lost person, you have no power over that sin. And if you continue to live in that sin cycle, Revelation talks about a sin cycle. There's a time in Revelation where it talks about trumpet judgments and God pouring out judgment upon the earth, and that there's three woes in these trumpet judgments. God says woe to the earth three times, and the judgments are so bad that people would wish they were dead, but they can't die. That because it's the wrath of God being poured out upon the earth, and these people who have rejected Jesus Christ and God's pouring out His wrath upon the earth, they wish they could die, but they can't die. But if you read on, it says, and they still would not repent from their sins. Yeah. It's falling in love with the sin cycle. If you're not willing to give Jesus your life, if you're not willing to let the Lord move in your life and rid you of your sin, there's not going to be any sin that enters into heaven. And that's why even as Christians, God's continually making us perfect. He's continually making us more like Jesus. But if you're a lost person, you can't break that sin cycle. There's only one remedy for your sin as a lost person, and that's to come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'll ask you, if you will, to stand. This morning, it's not what I planned on preaching. I'll ask them if they'll come and get a song of invitation ready. It's not what I planned on preaching this morning. I had planned on preaching having peace in the lion's den and talking about Daniel. But God laid this message on my heart, and even if it's only for one person in this place today, it's worth it to be obedient. And I don't know, everybody in here looks good to me, but I don't know what's going on inside. I don't know what's going on inside. And if there's cycles of sin in our lives that need to be dealt with, don't wait. There's no better day than today to get rid of your sin, to start breaking that sin cycle. I ask you, if you will, to bow your heads, and as they play, if you have a need in your life, I'll ask you to come.